coming up.
Everyone says anarchism is great in theory, but it's terrible in practice, and it's actually the other way around.
Anarchy, dream or nightmare?
Doesn't anarchy necessarily mean chaos, destruction, and violence?
Anarchy is not chaotic, it's organized. It's actually capitalism that's chaotic and uses the state to enforce its order.
Is the state always coercive?
First definition of politics is always making people do things they don't want to do.
Can we have true freedom and autonomy while being ruled by others?
Do we need the state, or is it just something the state has convinced us of?
I think it's interesting to think about what it would be like to not have government.
Our guest is James Martel, editor of How Not to Be Governed, readings and interpretations from a critical anarchist left.
When people actually have an experience of getting to decide things for themselves, they become incredibly excited. It really changes the way you think about things.
Anarchy, dream or nightmare?
Coming up on Philosophy Talk.
This is Philosophy Talk, the program that questions everything.
Except your intelligence. I'm John Perry.
And I'm Ken Taylor. We're coming to you from the Mars Theater, the San Francisco's breeding ground for new performance.
Our thinking originates at Philosopher's Corner. That's at the Stanford campus. That's where Ken teaches philosophy, and I taught philosophy for 40 years.
Welcome, everyone, to Philosophy Talk. And today we're philosophizing about anarchy, utopian dream or dystopian nightmare.
Well, anarchists believe that all forms of government, whether we're talking about democracy, socialism, communism, all illegitimate.
Now, why on earth would anybody believe that?
Because it's obviously true. I mean, governments are based on coercion. State coercion means tyranny. Tyranny is bad.
But how could we provide for public goods like education, healthcare, and infrastructure if there was no state? Come on, who would ensure law and order, John?
Ensure law and order? Surely, I don't need to remind you, the father of a black teenager, of what so-called law and order amounts to in our country, where police can just kill with impunity. Give me anarchy over that kind of law and order any day.
Oh, John, but that's a false choice. I'll grant you some states are unjust. Maybe all states are unjust, but that doesn't mean that we should totally abolish the state. We just need to make them more just. I mean, surely more justice is preferable to anarchy in which, well, anything goes. Come on.
Well, why do you say in anarchy anything goes? That's a very naive point of view. Do you think abolishing the state would turn us all into thieves and murderers? Why do you have such a low opinion of humankind?
It's not just my opinion. Haven't you read your Hobbes? I mean, in his great book, The Leviathan, he argued that in the state of nature, which is just another name for anarchy, life would be nasty, brutish, and short. I think Hobbes had a great insight into human nature.
I thought he said nasty, British, and short.
He said brutish and short.
Oh, brutish. Oh, okay. Well, but I mean, why would that be?
Because he claims human greed, avarice, and rapaciousness knows no natural bounds. We need the state to keep our natural instincts and to keep ourselves in check.
Well, we can keep each other in check. Most of us are not that rapacious and avaricious. We don't need the state.
Oh, come on. Be real. Okay, I'll give you an example. Suppose that you and I right here, we're going to make a business deal with one another. I'll pay you up front right now to provide me a certain service. But suppose we're an anarchic system. There are no laws that forbid cheating, no police to arrest you, no courts to imprison you. What's to stop you from taking my money and running? Altruism? You just like me so much?
Not altruism, just common sense. I'd be an idiot to cheat my customers, especially if they're big and strong like you. None of them, if I did that, they wouldn't return. That's no way to build a business.
But John, people do cheat each other all the time.
Which shows how ineffective states are at preventing it. Apparently it goes on in spite of the fact that we're part of all these states. What do you want? Why do you want to give the states more power? You kind of like tyranny, don't you?
No, you like chaos. That's your problem. You like chaos.
I like freedom and autonomy.
Oh, yeah, freedom and autonomy are good things, but how does anarchy enhance either of them?
Well, state coercion diminishes freedom and autonomy. Get rid of the state, get rid of the coercion, autonomy and freedom automatically increase.
You're confusing liberty with license. Without the state to protect it, there's no genuine liberty.
Communism, fascism, theocracy, you think they're there to protect liberty?
No. States like that rule without the consent of the governed. When a state has the consent of the governed, it's not tyrannical anymore. Haven't you read your Jefferson?
Does the state ever ask if you want to submit to its authority? Would it be willing to take no for an answer? I don't think so.
In a democracy, actually, the state does ask for your consent. That's what elections are about. It's not arbitrary. It's not tyrannical. It's democracy.
Well, it's just a more subtle form of tyranny than the others. I get to vote for Tweedledum or Tweedledee. Usually one is about as bad as the other. How is that not arbitrary?
Okay, I'm going to grant you democracy may not be perfect, but you got to admit, it beats anarchy.
You just don't have enough imagination, Ken. Imagine a world free from all arbitrary authority. No nations, no religion too. Imagine a world in which everyone gets to decide for themselves what to do and under what conditions based on their own desires, interests, and values. Can't you imagine that? That's anarchy.
Oh, God, John, that's a lovely utopian fantasy. It's just a fantasy. You haven't convinced me at all that it would work. Like, in the real world, in the here and now?
Well, maybe this will help you channel your inner John Lennon that I know is there. Lots of people are actually trying to make anarchy work. It's movements large and small. And we sent our roving philosophical reporter, Shuka Kalantari, out to take a close-up look at anarchy in action. And she files this report.
Once a month, people in cities across the country hop onto their bikes, form into large groups, and stop rush hour traffic. It's called Critical Mass, and it started in the early 90s as a way to promote bike culture.
There's nobody running it. Otherwise, someone would be responsible for anything that happens, and then you would need a permit.
That's Norm. I met him at Critical Mass in San Francisco, where the movement started. He's been doing this for 15 years. He says he loves it because it isn't centrally organized.
So we have no permit, so we have no leader. We have no destination. We just go this way and that way and this way and that way, and we're not even sure which way we're going when we get till we get there.
Okay, that's fine for bicycles, but could this model work for a government?
Most people need leadership, otherwise they'll go chaos and, you know.
Most everyone I talk to feels the same way. Anarchy leads to chaos. But there's one group that thinks anarchy would work on a larger scale. Anarchists.
People like to look at the Spanish Civil War and how the anarchists were able to take the means of production and make self-governed societies.
Like Greg Horton of Oakland, California.
It's a good example of how anarchism can work.
These anarchists played a big role in the fight against Francisco Franco during the Spanish Civil War, even though they lost and Franco became dictator. But it wasn't Spanish history that got Horton into anarchism. It was punk music, specifically a band called Against Me.
Cause baby, I'm an anarchist.
They have the song Baby, I'm an Anarchist. It's a protest song, essentially, basically saying that I am not going to relate to liberalism, and if I want to break windows, that's my thing, because I'm an anarchist.
So do you break windows?
I would never say that on record.
Horton was also inspired by writings from Crime Think Collective, a decentralized anarchist group that publishes books.
One being Days of War, Nights of Love, which is a very romantic book about how you can sit on abandoned buildings and watch the sunset and make out and eat from dumpsters. And like reading this as a 16-year-old kid, you're like, I want to do that. I want to ride trains and explore abandoned buildings and sort of live this free lifestyle.
Horton was too scared to ever hop on any trains. Today he's a web developer, but he still loves anarchy. In fact, he throws parties where they hand out anarchist pamphlets and listen to local punk bands.
So I guess if it's an anarchist party, wouldn't they just play whenever they wanted to play, or?
As much as I love good chaos, anarchism isn't chaos. Chaos is an event. Chaos is a thing that happens. Anarchism is a whole philosophical framework of ideas.
And there's different ways to do it. There's individual anarchists. They value individuals over society. And there's collective anarchists, people who oppose private ownership of any kind. Horton really believes that an anarchist society could function.
People think of anarchism as being this event-driven project where we are all working towards the event, meaning that like the revolution or the collapse or something. So it's not this static event-based philosophy, but something that is going to be constant.
Horton says it's a way to constantly challenge authority. If anarchists work together towards a decentralized society, it doesn't have to lead to chaos. So what does anarchists working together look like? Anything from battling Franco during the Spanish Civil War to handing out pamphlets at a punk party. For Philosophy Talk, I'm Shuka Kalantari.